Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey there. How's everybody doing? Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Yes, auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. We'll take care of all of it for you at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we'll be at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on Wednesday. Sue and I will be out there together to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Really looking forward to that. So, and we will go from there. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Very nice. All right. Media Day was Saturday. So we're going to take you on a trip through Media Day. Get to hear the coaches, what they had to say, what they were thinking going into practice. Should be pointing out that today there is no practice. They are in class. Because they're in class, it's mandated you have to have a day off. So, today is the day off. Today's the day off. And since today is the day off, they're back tomorrow. They go tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday is finals. So they get Friday off. Then they go straight for a period of time after that because they won't be in class. But let's get to some of the thoughts of the coaches. So let's start with Stacy Collins, special teams coach for the Nittany Lions.
Hey, Stacy, how are you?
Doing great today. How y'all doing?
Doing great here. We heard from James a bit on special teams. He talked about Barney leading the way right now from his standpoint at punter, and said there were a few options at kickoff. He didn't mention them. Can you tell us who's involved at punter, who's at kickoff, and kind of what you're going to be dissecting the next few weeks?
Sure. You know, Barney's done a great job. You know, to echo what Coach Franklin spoke, you know, he did a great job in the spring, continued to trend in the summer, and you know, we're early in camp now, but he's put multiple days together and done a nice job. We got a lot of competition at punter. You know, we got some guys that have done an unbelievable job turning from the spring. So Gabe Nuoso has really transformed. You know, he's a big body, and with that breathes a ton of power, both from a punt and a kickoff standpoint. Mitch Groh's done a nice job. He's developed well over the summer. And Alex Paqueta has came in as a freshman, and you know, he joined us in the May time and continues to develop and grow. So there's a lot of legs there with it, and it's been a good competition. and that's strictly punting. From a kickoff standpoint, we're in a real good we're a good competition there also. You know, Gabe is continuing to kick off, and he, like I talked about that big leg on the torque. Sanders Tadahak has done an unbelievable job of that, and Jake Pinneger, all three of those guys have hit it. And to be, you know, as we transform, Alex Paquette has got a big time leg from a kickoff standpoint too. So they're similar to a punter with a kickoff. We got great competition. That'll continue to funnel out as we go through camp. We've got some options, and then we'll start making decisions on where we're at and how we do divvy up those duties.
Audrey? Stacey, who are some of the options so far with regards to punt returners and kick returners? Who are you kind of working through there, and has anybody flashed just based off of what you've been able to do so far?
Yeah, you know, we worked a lot of guys in the spring, you know, and then we've continued that through fall. I think from a punt return standpoint, you know, Parker Washington's extremely consistent with his play. Mitch Tinsley's done a nice job. He's consistent back there with it. Marquise Wilson is another guy, and we've repped, you know, 4 to 5 other guys throughout practice. You've got to continue to put those guys in game-like situations. You know, punt return is a very unique situation where from a field position standpoint, from a decision-making standpoint, and from an explosive standpoint, how you can gain that hidden yardage. So, you know, a couple of those guys, you know, have done well in the first, you know, 4 practices. We'll get another look at it again as we can, you know, go through this week. But those would be some names similar to what we're at with the punt kickoff. There's a lot of guys, and we'll start trimming that down as we continue to work through camp. Kick return standpoint, you know, you've got Ford coming back who's done it. He's been back there. He's consistent. He's extremely consistent special teams player, not just from a return standpoint. And several other guys that got good speed. Daquan Hardy has got good speed. He's consistent back there catching the football with it. Amari Evans is a young guy. And Singleton is a guy that has some juice, has some size. So we've worked. There's several other guys that we've worked back there that continue to progress. So we're in a lot of positional battles, you can see, from a special teams standpoint. And that's a great situation to be in. We'll track this down a little bit and narrow it down as we go through camp. But I like the competition. It's making us all better, and we're getting a lot of guys a lot of reps.
Mark?
Stacey, how is the competition between Sander and Jake going? Is there an ideal time when you'd like to make a decision there? And do you necessarily have to make a decision? In the past, Penn State's gone with maybe one kicker for shorter kicks and one for longer kicks. How do you kind of approach that? Thanks.
Yeah, first of all, it's been a great competition. They've both struck the ball extremely well the last 4 days. So we need to trend and continue to do that. And that competition's been a tight one. And excited to see how both those guys prepared themselves through spring. They trended extremely well through the spring and finishing through the spring game. So we need to continue that going through camp. I don't know if there's a magic timeline. You've got to get into a situation where through Coach Franklin, through us as a staff, you know, certainly starts from the top down, that we'll make that decision. We'll put if we need to have a line of demarcation where we do break up between long and shorter field goals, I've certainly done that. They've certainly done that. Coach Franklin will make that ultimate decision. But we can do that. That decision doesn't need to be now. What we need to do now is have the best practice we can have today and continue to strike the ball the way those two are doing it.
John.
Hey, Stacey, here on your left. How are you doing today, Stacey?
Doing great.
When you join a program, how do you build camaraderie specifically with the coaching staff, and how have the other coaches helped you get acclimated to Penn State, both with the football program and just being in a new area?
Well, special teams certainly starts from the top down, and that's – Coach Franklin has done an unbelievable job with that from a special team standpoint. We are all involved with special teams. Every one of our assistants, every one of our graduate assistants, you know, all have roles, whether that's charting, timing. And so it is a cumulative team effort that starts from the top with a focus. And a lot of people are going to give special teams a lip service. There's no program in America that's going to tell you they don't spend a ton of time on special teams. It's not important. What you really got to peel the layers back and say, okay, what type of resources are you using with that? We're using all our resources on our coaching staff. We're also using all the resources from practice time. And so how we break that up through Coach Franklin's model here, that is a special team, puts a special teams coordinator, and really all of us, because we're all in that role working through it, just like you would be from an offense or a defensive standpoint. So it starts with that, and that culture here is already strong. So you're not walking, you know, I didn't walk into a situation. What Coach Lurg did here before was create a great culture of special teams from the leadership of Coach Franklin. So this staff, this model, this overall culture is very impressive from a special team standpoint, and it's been great to work in it.
Joe.
So, have about more than half a year here since you've been hired. What are some things that you've enjoyed and, I guess, found out or what have you about Pennsylvania, and how are you liking your time here thus far, just from a personal standpoint?
Yeah, from a personal standpoint, I have 4 daughters, so that's unique in itself right there, 4 daughters, and we work with 100-plus sons right there. But it's really an enjoy. It's been a great place to live. You know, you always worry about transition when you're moving my family. My girls have loved it here. My wife loves it here. I'm from a town very, very similar, you know, to State College in a lot of ways, and so we relate to it. The school system here has been unbelievable, and it's been great to be able on the East Coast and go out and be able to see things and do things with my family. So it's extremely supportive here. It's a great place to raise your children. My oldest daughter just finished her freshman year of college. She's back here working for the summer, and she loves it. My wife loves it out here, so I can't say enough great things about the State College area.
Right here in the back. Stout's been great, or was great, obviously, but he got a lot of help from the Gunners. Drew Hartlob specifically, I'm sure you've seen on film, knows for the football. I'm just wondering, who stands out for to replace him, and those ball skills, the instincts, you know, to get to the pylon, could that be taught? And how do you go about doing it?
Well, certainly, you know, Jordan Stout to start is an unbelievable talent, and you don't just replace Jordan Stout, and that'll be by committee. From the bullet standpoint, they've had elite bullet play here on their punt teams, and as you watch it, it jumps at you. So a combination of having an elite punter and having the elite bullet play has been extremely impressive. So we've worked a lot of guys. They understand the importance of that bullet play. Coach Smith directly coaches those guys and does an unbelievable job. We've had a good chunk of guys. It's a very competitive piece, just like we have with the punters, the returners. You know, Malik Mega has done a really nice job. He's big, physical. He can run. Daquan Hardy, again, has got good speed. But a list of those other skill players that I can put in there, and they are competing their tails off for that position right now. They know how important that is. And, Dixon's done a nice job with it. I can talk about King. There's a list, Marquise, a lot of guys with speed that can get out there and run and go. That's just a tip. That is probably maybe as deep a competition as we have right now, even with the other things we've talked about. And it is an extremely important position with what we're doing here from our punt unit.
A couple more.
Stacy. So to continue with that, Drew Hartlob obviously, you know, ran a 4.2. Also lose a guy like AJ Litton. Are there any testing numbers that you've seen from guys in regards to the gunner position that have stood out to you?
Well, you certainly got to have speed. I mean, it starts with speed, but you also have to gain game speed, and that starts with your fundamentals and techniques. I mean, the schemes are all based off, you know, the foundation is the fundamentals and techniques. So how they release off that line and are able to get to full speed, track a returner or track the football, depending on what the situation is, those are all part of the process, because there is true speed, which you can measure with a 40 time, you can measure with a catapult system in miles per hour, but there's also game speed. And how can I play that game with the leverage I'm seeing in front of me? How can I play that from a technical standpoint? And how do I finish, you know, at the football?
Last one, Tyler.
Yeah, before we got a chance to really get to know you a little bit in the spring, you got credit for bringing Vega on board last signing day. Can you talk a little bit about what you saw from him and kind of how you pivoted the staff a bit towards getting him on board late, and how his transition has gone since he got to campus?
Well, you had a lot of ties to the West Coast, recruited that area for a long time, has taken several players out of that region. With Vega, you saw, you know, we tracked him, certainly when I was coaching on the West Coast for a long time. A big, physical, great feat, behind the scenes, character checked out with so many things that he was doing. And, these guys were already on him here. I mean, Coach Trout was very well aware of it. They were aggressive with it. It happened to be a piece where I was able to come in and have some ties. And just like it is in special teams, you know, recruiting's a team effort. And so we put it together and excited to have him here.
All right. Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you.
Phillies have won 5 in a row. 9 of the last 10, and rolling. Still in third. But look, make the dance. That's all you have to do. Make the dance. And what's helped is that St. Louis swept the Yankees, and Milwaukee got swept. So now the cardinal factor isn't there for Philadelphia anymore. Phillies are a half game up on San Diego. Phillies have the second wild card spot right now. San Diego the third, with Milwaukee a game and a half back in the wild card race. And they're playing great right now. They're a fun team to watch. They've got power. They made some good moves at the trade deadline. 12 games over 500 now. 5 over at home, 7 over on the road. This is playing out really well for the Phillies. Dave Dombrowski made some great moves. The Mets now, catching the Mets, no. Not realistic. The Mets, to their credit, are playing great baseball. They've won 3 in a row. They've won 8 out of 10. But the Phillies are getting the pitching, and they're going to get Bryce Harper back eventually. And when they do, there's going to be nobody's going to want to face this team in the postseason. They are playing terrific baseball. Schwarber may not hit for average, but he's got 34 home runs. And I love the fact that they can put up runs. I'm talking about the Phillies. They're a fun team to watch. All right. Next half hour, Manny Diaz on the defense. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, they'll take care of all of your insurance needs. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And we're at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on Wednesday at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Coach's poll came out today, Penn State 27. As you know, that's nice. I don't care. End of September, I'll care. Right now, no. Just a starting point. So, I know I'm a party pooper and that stuff, but I just, doesn't mean anything to me. It means nothing. So, it's like, that's nice. I go back to a conversation I had with Dick Girardi 2 weeks ago. And it was basketball, of course. And I was trying to work out the travel for Penn State basketball because I've got that tournament in Charleston, which is a Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday. And the middle part where they don't have a basketball game, I have football at Rutgers. So I'm trying to work out. So I had to take the best-case scenario for Penn State basketball and the worst-case scenario for travel. Penn State beats Furman in the opening game. And I'm talking to Dick about it, and Dick says, yeah, they won 22 last year. They got like two or three guys back, starters. You know. He says, yeah, 2:30 would be the next game if they win. And I said, well, Dick, I got a 6:35 flight. Do you think it's going to work? He says, yeah, that should work. He said, no problem. And he says, you know, and to be honest with you, Steve, he says, it's getting to the point with all the transfers and all the movement. He says, who knows who's good anymore? And how true is that statement? I thought about that. I said, that is so true. Because I sit down, I do charts on everybody. All my game charts, football, basketball, they're all done. I mean, Penn State's going to announce the non-conference basketball schedule tomorrow, but, I mean, it's already done for me because I've had it. And it's just all the movement. And it's football, too. You just don't know anymore. You can guess, make good guesses, but all you're doing is guessing. All right, Manny Diaz takes over as the defensive coordinator and the linebacking coach at Penn State.
Hey, Manny. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good afternoon. Great. I was talking with Coach a little bit about the defensive backfield. He was talking about the emphasizing of the turnovers as you come in here. A lot of depth there, a lot of skill, and Jair had mentioned just they're physically ready to play, some of the young guys as well. Can you talk about that position group, what they're able to do to maybe help out an inexperienced linebacker corps, all the types of things, how excited you are to work with that group, please?
Well, in college football, your secondary is going to determine a lot about the strength of your defense. You know, one thing that's made Penn State great defensively through the years is limiting big plays, making people drive the field, and then being really good in the red zone. All of those things it require you to be strong in the secondary. So for us to have a leader like Jair and the presence he has, not just for what he does from a football standpoint, X's and O's, but in terms of a guy who commands the respect of every player in the locker room, that's enormous for us. Certainly on the outside, you know, guys like Joey and Kalen, and getting really strong play for the first couple of days really by our five top corners, which is encouraging, you know, because you've got to have depth in the secondary. We've got a good battle going on at safety opposite Jair. So I am pleased with the secondary, especially like today when we start putting in, you know, sub packages, start going nickel, dime, those type things. You always find yourself as October turns into November having a hard time fielding maybe six defensive backs on the field you want at one time, let alone having it two deep there. So, you know, we're only 4 days in, but we're off to a good start. I like the way those guys are working.
Go ahead, Ellie.
Hey, Manny. A few minutes ago, James talked about Johnny Dixon and his impressions early. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from him, and what do you think he contributes to the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we want to have depth in the secondary. You know, we want competition. I think that's the whole key, right? I mean, you want players to not feel secure because growth happens, you know, when we're uncomfortable. And the best way to be uncomfortable is to look at that bench and realize that if you slip up and don't bring it your A game one day, somebody else is going to go in for you. So I think, you know, whether it's Johnny, certainly Marquise Wilson has played well through the first couple of days of camp. You know, we know that Daquan Hardy can help on the outside or on the inside. So we're going to let those guys battle it out, you know. And I think the key for a lot of times, especially in the secondary, is you have to understand that, you know, guys are going to catch a ball, and that happens. You know, really, it's your response to that. And your maturity level to when things don't go well. It's easy when things do go well. But to really be a great player in the back end, you've got to be able to respond to adversity. Because we put you out there, you know, sooner or later someone's going to throw and catch a ball on you. And you got to be able to line up the next play and put that behind you. And I think Johnny's done a good job of maturing in that aspect.
Max.
Hey, Manny, over here.
Yeah.
James mentioned one of the bigger questions is obviously linebacker depth and especially middle linebacker. Was the transfer portal ever in play there, and what kind of led you guys to the group that you have now?
Well, I think the transfer portal for every position is always in play, right? I mean, you'd be foolish not to look to improve your football team in every way, shape, or form. With everyone that came through the portal, we did not feel that any of the options would have improved our football team. And I think that says a lot for how our guys practiced in the spring. Look, these guys all signed to come to Penn State. They all signed to come to LBU. They don't like being labeled a question of our defense. And I understand they have to prove it. They're right now, it's potential over performance. But they get reminded rather daily that in settings like this, that they're referred to as the giant question mark. They weren't recruited to be a question mark, I would imagine. So whether you're talking about Tyler and Kobe, whether you're talking about Curtis and his role going to Will, you got some really talented young guys who have just entered the program. You got a guy like Sutherland adapting to Sam, a guy like Dom DeLuca who's doing a really nice job at Sam over there as well. So there's a lot of guys right now that, you know, I think you play a lot of times, you play your best defense when you have a chip on your shoulder. So certainly it's not our goal, linebackers, to be the weakness of the defense. I think those guys are they understand that the standard at this university never changes. There's a lot expected of them, and to me, that's why they're here.
Mark?
Manny, what have you seen out of PJ? Obviously, he wasn't able to practice in the spring. And then you have two guys, I know you weren't here, but who didn't play last year in Adisa and Hakeem on that defensive line. Where are they kind of sizing up and how much of an impact will they make? Thanks.
Yeah, so starting with PJ, and again, we've only been 2 days in pads, limited team drills and whatnot. But you feel his presence. Well, first of all, you feel PJ's presence for who he is as a person. Again, another guy like Jair that, every person in that football team's got great respect for PJ, like a coach on the field, Now, when the ball snapped, you see where he's had so much success, being one of the top D tackles in the Big Ten Conference. So strong at the point of attack, understands blocks, understands how to hold points, but can finish a play in the backfield too. And obviously that's a big part of our DNA, is to be a disruptive front, guys that can get their feet across the line of scrimmage and make things happen and put offenses in negative yard situations. So for PJ, that's been really encouraging to get that back, even though, again, like I said, we're really, really early on, and we're being smart with him and bringing him back. You mentioned Hakeem. And just me coming in, with a fresh set of eyes, getting here, December, January, all those things I just mentioned in terms of being disruptive, the ability to get back in the backfield, and the things that we want to pride ourselves on in terms of our inside play, all that fits Hakeem, like a glove. I mean, he's very difficult to block. He's got great instincts, very slippery, just a hard matchup on those guards, especially in one-on-one situations. And, we'll talk about it a decent in a second. And everybody talks about rushing the passer, and for good reason, we talk a lot about defensive ends. But quarterbacks can step up from defensive end pressure when there's not a pocket to step up. So whether it is a guy like PJ, guys like Hakeem, Keziah Izzard, and we've got a lot of guys on the inside that aren't just space eaters. They've got some athleticism. Now you can really push the pocket, make that quarterback feel uncomfortable from all sides, and that's where kind of the mistakes start to occur. Going to Adisa, we did feel like in the spring, we felt like we needed a little bit more dynamic nature off the edge in pass rush. Of course, not having seen Adisa. Now that he's back, and I think he's confident in his return, and I think our medical staff did a great job with him, training staff did a great job with him. You can see he's got his confidence back, and he's got some of that. He's got that juice off the edge. Then you had a guy like Chop Robinson. The other guys are all getting better as well. So you had a guy like Nick Tarburton, always dependable right there, does his job with such a high level of detail. So, yeah, we are a different animal at defensive end than we were in the spring. We're still a long way from where we want to go, but getting Adisa back, getting Chop in the program, that's helped us.
In the back, Andrew.
Coach Andrew Clay, Nittany Nation. Everyone in college football knows about your turnover philosophy and how much you prioritize it, but some people say turnovers aren't sustainable. How do you counter that argument?
Yeah, you can... It's I've had fascinating conversations with all the people in analytics about that, and certainly you can look at the track record of where we've been, and we've had years with more turnovers and years with less turnovers, but we also have led Power Five in it twice in the last 8 years. So I do think there is a formula that's not complicated. It's not earth-shattering. I think every defensive coordinator across the country tries to preach the same things. I don't think anybody's saying let's not get turnovers, but you got to do a great job versus the run. You got to create negative plays because you got to put people in long yardage situations, right? This is a fact. The most turnovers happen on third down and long. because the offense has to put the ball basically in harm's way. They can protect that football on first, second down. If they're not putting him in third and long, they can really, really protect that ball. But sooner or later, you've got to expose your quarterback to drop back pass if you've got to get third down and eight or more. So there's a formula to try to get good defenses, get people into long yardage third downs. Good offenses avoid getting into third down and long. Now, again, all that sounds easy. It's obviously easier said than done. If it wasn't, then everybody would do it. And then it's a lot of hats around the ball. You know, you've got to get a lot of guys to football. You know, you may have heard about fumbles luck. I mean, in on average, a team should recover about half the fumbles it fumbles. And keep in mind, that's both sides of the ball. Fumbles that you fumble and fumbles that your opponent fumbles in front of you. But, you know, in some years, you can get that number up to 60, 75%. You know, and some years that may go down to 30, 25%. And that may be the difference between a conference championship and coming in third place. I mean, you never know in a season. So our players are well aware of that. We speak it into existence every day. It is part of our DNA, and I will say this, we're off to a good start in training camp of hunting the ball, and as we told, we will make our offense better the more we attack the football in training camp, because they'll be ready for, because that's always the one thing you worry about in season openers. You know, a lot of times, guys, most people in the country are thudding. You're not doing a lot of live tackling. Certainly no one's touching a quarterback anywhere around the country. So in those opening games, we've got a monster opening game. Ball security is so important when coming out of the chute. So we want to be prepared on both sides of the ball for that challenge.
Time for two more. Rich in the front.
Manny, what have you seen so far from Tyler Elsdon and Kobe King? What will you be looking for the rest of the camp before you make a decision there? And how much does command of the defense play a factor in all of that?
That might be the biggest factor. I mean, ultimately, the middle linebacker is the quarterback of the defense. I mean, the first thing you got to know is you got to know where to get lined up, and you got to know on run game, you know, basically where to stick your nose. You can be, you know, the strongest man in the world, run a 4.3 and bench press the entire, you know, weight room. But if you don't know whether it be in the A gap or B gap, the whole defense falls apart. So, it's about who can do that the most consistently. Both guys can do it. Both guys can play. And I think they both have the confidence that they can play. They put enough on film through spring, even the first 4 days of training camp. They know they can do it. Can you be the down-after-down guy that has the respect of everybody that's on the defense so that when the linebacker says, hey, this is a left call, the defensive end, the will linebacker, the safety behind him, everybody says, yes, he's correct. So, you know, trust, we talk about trust as consistency over time. And so to be that guy every day, and that's what's great about training camp. Spring, you get it some, but now we are every day. Walk through this morning, practice number five this afternoon. So, and if I get mentally tired and one day I have a bad day as a middle linebacker, that's going to erode the trust of the rest of the defense. So that's why we're not, you know, we're not making any judgment right now. We don't have to. You know, we've got 2 weeks of great camp and then another week where they're not even in school to really find out who these guys are because we expect a lot out of that position.
Last question, Corey.
Manny, you mentioned a few minutes ago that Penn State's always been great at making teams drive the field and not giving up the big plays. Well, if you're being aggressive and you're trying to force turnovers, how do you balance that versus not giving up the big play? They've kind of played a bend but don't break style here for a while because they've got the great DBs that they can count on in the red zone. So how do you go about staying aggressive and not giving up the huge plays and trying to get the turnovers versus kind of what they've done here forever with the bend but don't break?
Yeah, but I think, you know, it's interesting you say that. I think we talked about this the very first time I had a press conference here when I first got here. I don't think those things necessarily are in direct competition with each other. I think you can be aggressive with your front play. The way a defensive tackle is taught doesn't expose your secondary to, you know, explosive plays. Bad things happen to a defense normally through missed assignments, missed tackles, or a lack of effort. And those are all things that we say that we can control. So, you know, I think for a long time, you know, in this area, the Pittsburgh Steelers under Dick LeBeau, they always did a great job of being, you know, it was Blitzburg. They were always a high-pressure team, but the way that they played their coverage, a lot of times they would play their coverage in such a way to keep the, you know, the wide receivers in front. So you're always sort of attacking here at the point of attack, but down here in the back end, you're always keeping yourself sort of risk adverse. And I think every defense coordinator in the country understands that that's what you're trying to do. I mean, you understand that big plays get you beat, but you know that creating havoc and making big plays can swing a game. So we feel like we can take pride in doing both. You know, I don't ever look at it pulling one lever at the expense of pulling another lever.
That is Manny Diaz, linebacking coach and defensive coordinator for Penn State football. By the way, a sad note before we go to break. Olivia Newton-John has passed away at the age of 73. Her cancer came back about 5 years ago. 73 years old. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today, sponsored by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right. So James Franklin, the next half hour. In fact, no, it'll be Mike Yurcich, I'm sorry, in the next half hour. James Franklin, final half hour. And we'll go from there. Tomorrow, Neil Coulong on the show. Wednesday will be at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Brendan Quinn and Mark Wogenrich will be on Thursday's show. And that's the lineup we have, at least to this point this week. Today's show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.